This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. Now, next up on our Fix 18 content, we have negotiation skills to improve your career and life from Dr. Ali Raja. Dr. Raja is an emergency physician in Boston, and he's the vice chair at Massachusetts General Hospital. He also happens to be the co-author with Dr. Kaushal Shah of the Junior Medical Detective series. This is a series of children's books about medical topics, and we gave away a copy of My Tummy Hurts, sponsored by the Butterfly Ultrasound Probe people, to everybody who came to the Fix 18 party. And you should really check out these books because they are fantastic. They teach kids about some medical topics and how to not be scared of doctors. And I love them because they are the reason my two-year-old niece knows and uses the word appendicitis, which I just think is fabulous. Now, Dr. Raja is going to talk to you about something super important that we all need to be better at, and that's some negotiation skills. So I'm going to let him take it away now.
This is really exciting. All right, first of all, thank you for sticking around. I know there's a break after, so I appreciate the fact that there's still most people here. That's very nice. Thank you. All right, before we get started, I'm going to talk about negotiation, but I wanted to ask, how many of us in the room actually feel pretty comfortable with negotiation? Yeah, own it. Come on, you guys are badasses. All right, so take a look around, because for those of you who didn't raise your hands, if you've got questions afterwards, hit me up on Twitter. Talk to me outside, but all the people who raised their hands in the room, probably know just as much, if not more, than me. This is your huge raft of female otters, and so you should go to them whenever you have questions about negotiation as well. So, I know that this is supposed to be 10 minutes in sort of a negotiation talk, but I'm in New York City and I'm on this huge stage. And I'm going to kind of treat this like my off Broadway two-act play, because when am I going to get the chance to do this again? So first of all, let me tell you about my first act. My first act is going to be The Puppy and the Fence. And I know, I'm kind of reaching out and tugging on some heartstrings with The Puppy, but it's because I really love dogs. My wife's in the audience, and I try to put them in whenever I can, so there's a puppy. Let me tell you about it. So there are these two neighbors, Steve and Jeff. Jeff's wearing the Feminem shirt. Jeff just got himself a new puppy, and the puppy's wonderful and amazing, but there was this huge storm, and it just blew down the fence between their yards. The problem is the fence is on Steve's yard, but Jeff's actually the one who needs the fence because of this super cute little puppy. And so they come out after the storm and they start talking about how they're actually going to pay for it. And Steve, who owns the house with the fence, says, you know what, I don't need the fence, you got this dog, why don't you pay to put the fence back up? So Jeff realizes that's an extreme offer. We're going to talk about that in just a second. That's way extreme. That can't happen. So he says, why don't we just split the cost? It makes sense. We both have one half the fence. Let's just split the cost. And Steve says, no. And they're at this stalemate. And that's how a lot of negotiations go, when somebody just says they won't negotiate any further and you're at this stalemate and you're stuck. And I found myself in these negotiations, and I'm betting that a lot of you have. And so what I'm going to talk about is a few different negotiation fundamentals, some strategies for how to actually deal with this. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat, there are some great resources for this all over the Feminem webpage. So take a few minutes, go there. There's some great podcasts. Risa Lewis did one. There's some great blog posts. Read up on those. I did. And I pulled out a bunch of information. The first three things that I'm going to talk about are mentioned somewhere in that vast amount of resources. And then I'm going to add on a couple of more myself. The first is actually, it seems simple, but we don't do it enough. The first is simply to prepare. And then we're going to talk a little about knowing yourself and also about making sure that you memorialize your agreements. The first, when we're talking about preparing, what we're really talking about is having the data. Make sure you understand the people you're negotiating against, but have data to back up whatever it is that your position's going to be. Secondly, knowing yourself is really important. And what I mean by that is know how you respond to frustrating or difficult negotiations. I'll tell you, I am an introvert. Apparently a lot of us are exposing ourselves on stage today. So I'm an introvert. I don't like conflict. And so when I get into a really difficult negotiation, my initial reaction is actually to say, okay, fine, you win, and walk out the door. And I know that about myself, and so now I plant my butt in the seat and I don't do that, even though I'm really tempted to. Now, different people react differently. Some people get super frustrated, some people get angry, some people run away. Just know what your reaction to a difficult negotiation is going to be and be ready to counteract it. And third, memorialize agreements. Right after you come to an agreement, a complex agreement with a difficult negotiation, make sure that the second you walk out the door, you send an email to the other party reminding her of what you actually negotiated about and the solution you came up with so that nobody's confused 2 months later when a conflict actually arises. So those are great, and I really love those resources from the Feminem site. A couple of others. The first is use time to your advantage. Remember, this is the long game that you're playing. You're building a relationship. This isn't about you winning or them winning. This is about coming up with hopefully a win-win solution that'll help build the relationship, but also, if they say no, you don't have to take that no. You can always come back to the table later. And lastly, I'm like the fourth person to say this in the past 20 minutes, but make sure you listen, because you can often find really unique solutions to problems that you might not have realized. We often come to negotiate about one topic, but we're coming at it for completely different viewpoints and angles, and unless we understand the other person, we're never going to find a solution that works. So let me go back to the initial negotiation we were talking about and talk about a couple of generalized issues. The first was what we ran into first, which was called the extreme offer. Now, the extreme offer is exactly what you might expect. It's when two people are so far apart that what one person presents is not even remotely acceptable to the other person. There's a couple of different ways to counteract this using the techniques that I just talked about earlier. The first is to make sure that you have data to back yourself up. If somebody's presenting you with an extreme offer, it probably doesn't have the data to back it up. They're just presenting it hoping you'll accept it. But if you come back and your counteroffer has data to back it up, they can't ignore it. Secondly, make sure that you use time to your advantage here. This is when you say, hey, you know what? I've brought you this data. I've brought you my counteroffer. Why don't we go back? Why don't we meet again in a week or a day? And why don't you look at my offer and we'll come back to the table. I know you said no now, but let's look at it again. The second situation I want to tell you about is called the stalemate. This is when one person just completely refuses to negotiate for whatever reason. And the solutions here use the other three techniques that I talked about earlier. Knowing yourself, knowing that at this point, your reaction is predictable. All of us have a reaction to a frustrating situation like this. Know what it is and be ready to counteract it. Secondly, this is why it's really important to listen, to think about what creative solution you can come up with that can bypass the stalemate, because usually you're just negotiating about one part of the problem. But if you can come at it a different way, you can often get past these stalemates. And then lastly, this is the part that it's so important to memorialize. If you can memorialize your unique and complex solution to a stalemate, you can actually hold them to it, which they might not want to do after they leave the room. I've run into that situation, and I'm sure you have as well. All right, so we've got five techniques. We've got a couple of situations. Let me take you to the second act of my two-act play. This one, we're going to call the chair and the CEO. And what I'm going to actually do here, wait, you can't walk away because that's you. Wait, Tara, no, she's leaving. All right, so here's the situation. Let's say we've got a chair. We're going to call her Dr. Cass. And she's the chair of emergency medicine. She's negotiating with her CEO, Dr. Jones, there on the right. Now here's the situation, and this is something that all of us run into every day when we're trying to lead emergency departments. Dr. Cass is trying to negotiate for more attending staffing in her emergency department. She's working these shifts, she understands that it's getting busier, patients are walking out more and more, and her staff is getting burned out. And so she comes to Dr. Jones, and Dr. Jones says, I get that, I understand, but you know what? I've got no more room for line items in my budget. I can't afford to pay any more for physicians. How about this? Why don't you take your attending salaries and why don't you drop them by a certain percentage, and then you can use that money to hire more doctors? It makes perfect sense. Dr. Cass understands that that's an extreme offer. It's not one that she can accept. And so she says, you know what? Let me think about that. Let me get some data, and we'll be back in a week. And so this meeting, the one we're talking about now, is actually the second meeting for both of them. Dr. Cass actually comes back, and she says, look, here's the thing. I pulled all the other chairs around the city, and what I found out is I'm actually paying my physicians at the median salary. If I pay them less, they're going to walk out the door and go work for the hospital across the street, and that's going to put us in even more of a hole. So what do we do? And so Dr. Jones says to her, the CEO, she says, look, I get it, but here's the thing. I care about two things that are really important to me. I care about great patient care, and I care about the bottom line, because I can't take on any more non-reimbursed expenses. I can't do that. So they're at a stalemate. Dr. Cass senses herself getting frustrated. We know Dr. Cass. We can anticipate her reaction to a stalemate. But she knows that about herself. And so she says, look, let's get creative. I also care about two things. I care about patient care, but I also care about my staff and their wellness, and they're getting burned out and they can't do this anymore. So let's do this. I hear you about the bottom line. I understand that you need reimbursements, but here's the thing. We have all these patients walking out. What I need from you is I need a 3-month pilot. I need you to fund 3 months of me bringing in locums tenens docs for a swing shift during the busiest time of the emergency department. And one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to be right, and they're going to see all those patients who are walking out and more than make up for their salaries. Or I'm going to be wrong, and we'll come up with something else, but I need you to give me this for 3 months to figure it out for our patients and for the bottom line. Dr. Jones says, all right, I can make that happen. They leave, they shake hands, and after figuring all this out, Dr. Cass sends Dr. Jones an email right afterwards with all the details memorializing the agreement. She was able to figure out a way to make this work for her staff because of the fact that she came with data. She asked everybody else what they were paying their docs. And if you guys are trying to negotiate and you want to know what somebody in Boston is paying their docs, shoot me an email, I'll let you know what we pay. We're exceptionally transparent with our faculty, and everybody knows where we stand in terms of gender distributions for our various ranks. Everybody should be that transparent. Secondly, in addition to knowing yourself, having the data, you need to know yourself and know your own reaction. Number three, make sure you memorialize these complex agreements. Number four, use time to your advantage. Don't be afraid to come back later to negotiate it if it doesn't work out the first time. And finally, make sure that at the end of the day, you listen. I know that negotiations are tough. They're tough for me every time I go into them. But I'm hoping that the things I talked about today will hopefully make things a little easier for you. And because of the fact that I know that for most of us in the room, all that we really care about is what happened to that little puppy, I want to tell you that he's doing just fine. Thank you very much.